Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Here's why the Link family celebrates St. Patrick. His story is remarkable. It's one of redemption, restoration, and purpose. Did you know that St. Patrick, living in England, was abducted and was human trafficked? Did you know this? He was taken into captivity by some Irish raiders who raided his village, and they put him into slavery for just a long, long time as a shepherd out in the fields. He tried to escape a few times, got thrown back into captivity, but he eventually escaped, got back home, and when he got back home, mom and dad were so happy he came back home, they said, "You're going to become a priest." He didn't even know Jesus yet at this point in time, but being a dutiful son, he said, "Okay." Get this. While studying to be a priest, after he became a priest, he became a follower of Jesus. Isn't that crazy? You kind of would think it'd be the other way around. It tells me this, that you can actually do things for God, but not actually know God. Somebody scratch your beard and say, "Huh." Yeah, you can do things for God without actually knowing God. Well, he actually met God when he was doing things for God, and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit began whispering to young Patrick. Did you know his first name wasn't Saint? That's his title, right? Young Patrick, young priest Patrick, began hearing the still small voice of the Lord saying, "Go back, go back." And so he followed the still small voice of the Lord, and this guy, now a priest, went back to Ireland, the place of his captivity, the place of his oppression. When he went back to Ireland, he brought some money in his back pocket because he wore jeans back then, and he pulled out his wallet, and the guy who held him in captivity, his master, St. Patrick, paid him the value of a lost slave himself. And then that guy who once had him in captivity gave Patrick a place to stay. Now get this, at one point in time, 98% of the island of Ireland were Jesus followers. 98%! Because one man was crazy enough to follow the lead of the King of Kings. That's why I wear green, and that's why you need to get pinched if you don't got green on, right? So if they look mad, don't pinch them. I understand. We don't want to get anybody punched. So happy St. Patrick's Day. It's a good thing. No, I was reading my quiet time this week, the book of Proverbs, and this is what I want you to hear. Proverbs 11:10. This is all free. If you can only handle a few things, take a nap right now. This isn't actually the teaching. This is just extra, okay? Proverbs 11:10 says, the whole city celebrates. Now, let me stop. How many of you want your city to celebrate? Okay, the rest of you who didn't respond, I'm assuming you want your city to be in mourning the rest of the time, right? Elbow your neighbor and say, "Pay attention." Elbow your neighbor and say, "Participate. It helps you remember." How many of you would like for your city to celebrate? All right. Here's how the city celebrates. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:10, the whole city celebrates when the godly succeed. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God has given us an ability to bring success in our world so that the world around us celebrates. St. Patrick is a perfect example of this. He succeeded in his missionary calling, and the whole Ireland Isle celebrated. Here's the deal. About 3 months ago, we started a second service, which is actually a first service, but it's still the second service, even though it's the first service, so don't be confused that the first service is the second service. Do you understand? Yeah, we added a second service at the river at 9 in the morning, and I want you to hear this. You know, when God's things are flourishing, people experience joy. Since December through the end of February, our average worship attendance has grown 115 people because we reached out to do this. This is phenomenal. That's worthy of telling your face you're happy. Here's the thing. These wonderful people get there at 9 or 9:10 or 9:15 or 9:30 for the 9 o'clock service. Some of you feel a little crowded at this service. We might be able to use you, grow that first service. You could come and lay down at the first service and spread out. Right, there's about 150 people, but 550 chairs, so that means there's a lot of room for you to go and help expand this work that God is doing. Healthy things grow and reproduce. And so we're growing and we're a part of something that God's doing. Turn, you're a part of something. Before I get to the teaching, right here, another neighbor and say, "It's good that you're here." One more thing before I get to the teaching. Right here on February 31st, what day? Why did I say February? March 31st, right here. We are going to do the first time ever indoors, full immersion at the river, right? We've done several adult baptism, believer baptisms throughout the year, sometimes outside at a park years ago. We've been doing this like splashy type thing. Well, on March 31st, we're going to do full immersion baptisms for those of you who haven't baptized and want to profess your faith in Jesus. However, as I've been reminding you of this very first baptism immersion experience, we have one rule that's coming. What is that one rule? Say it like you mean it, because you don't want people up here in Speedos. What is the one rule about baptism? No Speedos! But if you need to be baptized, you want to be baptized the last Sunday of this month. He once was blind, but now he can see. Because he had an encounter with Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, man, things change and happen. Amen? And we saw the last couple weeks, John chapter 9 is what we're looking at. If you're a guest, we've been working through the Gospel of John. We started January of 2018. We're about 45% now. It's going to take us 17 years to get through the whole Gospel of John. So if this is your first time, don't worry, and you want to come back, you've got years and years yet of the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 9. The first 2 weeks looking at John chapter 9, we saw a guy who was blind, had an encounter with Jesus. Do you remember how Jesus brought healing to this guy? How? Somebody say, he spit on the ground. And you know that for a blind person, the two most sensitive and powerful senses are the sense of hearing and the sense of touch. But you got to know this blind guy, nobody touched him and hardly anybody ever talked to him. But Jesus entered into his life because Jesus is tender and kind. And he touched him and he spoke to him and he spit in the ground. And in the touch and in the talk, Jesus brought healing to a man who needed healing. And then the second week, last week in this guy's story, he was brought before the religious people, the religious leaders, and they got mad. Somebody gasped with me because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Oh, can you believe this Jesus? And we learned last week that Jesus is more concerned about your walk with him and your freedom than religious institution and practice, right? And that these people, these religious types, kind of our counterparts, warning, were so mad that this guy was healed on the Sabbath, and they began grilling him. And we saw last week that when you encounter Jesus, you get confidence, right? If you were here last week, you remember me saying this guy was kind of a sheepish, kind of behind-the-scenes guy, but when he had an encounter with Jesus, he was transformed, and he got confident and even got cocky in the presence of those who could make his life miserable, and he even did a little trash-talking, right, to these people. And he says, what, do you want to become his followers too? And they said, enough, get out of here. And they excommunicated, and they kicked him out, and he had no more community. And this is where we pick it up. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard. Jesus hears things, by the way. Right? It might seem like he's distant and he doesn't know, but I want you to know Jesus knows. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus knows. Yeah, you're right. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when Jesus found him, let me just stop right. When Jesus found him, and that's a beautiful phrase. You know, if Jesus was a good American leader, Jesus would have done his thing, set the man free, and then he would have moved about his business and he would have left the man alone. But Jesus heard that the man had been ostracized, and Jesus found him. Now, maybe you've never been ostracized. Maybe you've never been ridiculed. Maybe you've never been felt less than, made to feel less than. But if you have, well, hang on. If you haven't felt that way, you're lying to yourself. I mean, let's just be clear. We say here at the river all the time, if you got a pulse, and a lot of times those issues are because people have set us aside, said we don't act right, we don't talk right, we don't behave right. We're just not right. And so we've often, like this blind guy, been set aside. And some of you know what that feels like because you remember middle school, right? Oh, gosh, he says. And some of you know what that feels like because you're living it right now. You just don't quite fit in. And so when we read these words that Jesus found him, you need to let your heart know that this is good news because Jesus will never leave you. And Jesus will never forsake you. You know, one of the dumbest things I've ever read in the Bible is a parable about 100 sheep. Do you know this one? 99 of these smart guys, if we can call them guys, they did their thing. They stayed right where they needed to. But this one knuckle-headed sheep, you know what he did? He just got himself lost. Ladies, I did say himself, okay? That's all right. because he didn't ask for directions, of course, right? That sucker, he got lost. And you know what? I'm just thinking, why would the shepherd leave the 99 good ones? Isn't it good riddance that the one is lost? I mean, how knuckleheaded is it? Shepherd, get back to the 99. If you were shooting 99% from the free throw line, that's unbelievable. 99% of your sheep, that's good enough, isn't it? If you've ever been the one, the story is anything but stupid. If you've ever been the one lost and alone, wandering in the wilderness, literally or figuratively, the story is beautiful. Although it might not make sense from a certain American perspective, if you've ever been the one, the story is beautiful. And Jesus sees the echo of a sheep that is lost in this young man who had been cast out because he began to speak of Jesus when Jesus found him. You know, Jesus would say in another place in the Gospel of Matthew, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before God. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Some of you, that's hard to grasp because you've been left and abandoned your whole life. I want to tell you the truth is Jesus will never leave you, ever. So they kicked him out. They kicked him out because they were more comfortable with him when he was stuck in his junk. And isn't that the way of it? I mean, we've encountered this, or let's be honest, we've done this. We're more comfortable when other people are stuck in their stuff because we're familiar with that. We're comfortable with them being there. And when somebody dares to get free, part of us wants to say, get back to where you belong. And so this man experienced ostracism because he dared to walk out in freedom. And you know what they wanted to do is they wanted to keep him stuck in his past. You know what Jesus wanted to do? He wanted to send him forward in a free future. Say that fast 3 times. Forward in a free future. Right on. So here's the deal. Jesus wants to give you a future that's free. Even if your stupid past was right here, because right here actually isn't here anymore. Right here, this moment right here is now in the past. And in Jesus, everything is new. The old is passed away. They wanted to keep him in his stupidity and define him by what he has done. And Jesus says, you're not defined by your past. You're defined by your free future. Now, here's the deal. Lean in a little bit. Lean in. That's good news. Tell your face and smile. Let me see your good news face. You're not stuck in your past because Jesus gives you a future that is free from your past. So Jesus found the guy, and the Bible says this. Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, let me bust out my handy-dandy laser pointer. Does anybody have somebody sitting next to them who needs a laser pointer on their forehead because they're not paying attention? Quit pointing to your sister. It's you. Right here. This is kind of the vision statement of the river. Everybody has a place to belong here. Somebody say belong. And I think we do a pretty good job of that. There are people who might not fit in at other places that have found a home here. Belong. And this is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus gave this guy a place to belong. He gave him community. He gave him healing. He gave him freedom. But you know, it's not just about the belonging. Sooner or later, the belonging needs to lead to belief. So we say believe. And so Jesus calls the question. He goes, do you believe in the Son of Man? And maybe today's the day that you have the question called in your world. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Now, you might not be there yet. You might be just checking it out, and you might be staying in the belong phase. That's totally fine, especially at church. Do you know church is a scary place? Do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, well, and beyond, has done some really dumb things? And I think I've told you before that there's a whole specific branch of counseling with particular types of training for the counselor dealing with church abuse and church wounds. And so you might need to stay in the belong phase for a little bit, and you can belong here regardless of what you believe. Nowhere in Scripture, that's good news for some of you, clap for that. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say, you got to believe before I give you a place of belonging. So you might need to stay in the belong phase for quite a while and just look around and see if people are genuine, to see if God is genuine. Take your time. However, you might not be staying at belong. You might be at a place where you can say, huh, yeah, I do believe. Well, sooner or later, you got to answer the question, do you believe that Jesus is who he said he was? Do you believe? Take your time, unless your time is now. Then make your time. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Now, the following statement is going to be really good news to some of you. Ignorance is not evil. Whew. Come on, some of you people just don't know as much as you ought to know, right? Some of you know you've struggled with some of the intellectual things. I'm telling you, ignorance isn't evil. Repeat after me. Whoo! I agree with that. No. Keep going, Josh. Don't have your dad silent. You just keep going, man. You know, the guy asked a great question. Who is this guy that you're talking about, this Son of Man, the Son of God? Who is he? And it's a beautiful example for us. If you don't know, ask the question. Let's just be real. How many of you have sat in class before having no idea what the professor or teacher's talking about, and yet you wouldn't ask because you didn't want to seem stupid? Anybody? Yeah, I've heard of people like you. It's so normal for us when we don't know something to want to pretend like we know something. Here's the deal. People don't think you're as smart as you think they think you are. Or you think they think you are. So you might as well ask. So maybe you're still at the belong stage and not at the belief stage because you haven't asked the question, the guy, well, who is this Jesus? Who is he? Who is this guy? You know, and maybe some of you for years ago said, yeah, I said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've belonged, you are believing, and you're becoming all that God intended you to be. Maybe the question for you isn't, do you believe in Jesus? Maybe you don't need to ask, who is this Jesus? Maybe, get this. Now, this is for all of you who've been a part of the church for a while, who've had faith for a bit. This is for you. Maybe you need to be the one to answer the question for somebody who's asking the question. That's Billy. If you're new here and a guest, that's Billy, our autistic buddy. Don't be alarmed about that. He knows what it is to participate in the sermon. He knows that's what I like, so feel free to follow his lead. Let me tell you guys this. Maybe you're the ones who need to answer the question that others are asking. You don't need to hear, yes, Jesus is the one. You don't need to answer that. But you need to be in a place where you can say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me answer your question about Jesus. I know him. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you, I get some weird things. Now, some of you in the room I know have done this. I mean this in the nicest possible way. But the following is crazy. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a call, a text, an email from somebody. Some of you lovely friends of mine. Hey, I got this brother who's asking me questions about Jesus, so you need to call him, Rob. Hey, I got a neighbor who's asking me questions about Jesus. Here, you call him. Or, hey, I met a waiter at the restaurant, and I told him about the river and the church, and so you need to call him. Let's just be clear. That is absolutely phenomenal. Say phenomenal. The heart for people to know Jesus. That is absolutely beautiful. Somebody say beautiful. You know, the Apostle Peter wrote in his book, 1 Peter, again, lacking creativity. He could have called it like the Book of Awesome. But he didn't. He talked about believers in this way. He said, we are a priesthood of all believers. And I've been quoting Chris Vallotton, who would say, hey, you're all priests. You might suck at it, but you are. And I've modified his quote, and I said, y'all are priests, you might be inexperienced, and you're going to be good at it as you put it into practice. I'm telling you, you're the ones who need to answer the question, who's Jesus? Don't call me when your brother, your waiter, or your neighbor ask about him. You be ready, and you share Jesus and who he is to you. Do you know, and I've made those calls because I want people to meet Jesus too, but I'll be honest, I feel kind of creepy. Hey, you don't know me, and I know you're a waiter, and you're the ones. And I love the heart behind it. You all see that, I hope. But you're the ones that God put in their life to answer the question, who is this Jesus? You answer. Jesus answers the guy. He goes, you've seen him. I am the one speaking with you, me. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now, I want to remind you that belief came after belonging. But even belief didn't happen because it didn't happen because somebody argued him rightly into the kingdom. You can't argue people into God's love. How many of you have people who just are angry about things of the faith and they're always arguing? Here's what you should do. You should argue back, but get louder. Because when you yell louder, it makes your argument better, right? Yeah. Moving on. Next point. No, that's dumb. You know, this guy didn't come to belief in Jesus and to a place where he could worship because he was argued into it. He was loved into it. And out of being loved in his brokenness, nobody else was loving this dude. He knew he had a pulse, and therefore he had issues. And in his issues, he knew that he was an outcast. But Jesus loved him in the midst of his junk. And in that being loved, he became a follower of Jesus. He believed. Belief comes through revelation and love, not argument and strong arm. Revelation from Jesus. I kind of wish the text would end there. Somebody say, uh-oh. Man, that's warm and fuzzy right there. I'm not like, oh, yeah. Jesus loves broken people. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. But he addresses the knuckleheaded religious leaders. He said, for judgment. Somebody say judgment. No, that's not how you say it. You got to say it like, judgment. We don't like the word judgment, but Jesus speaks of judgment. Yeah, somebody say yuck. For judgment, I've come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Now, we got to talk about this for a minute. First of all, let me just say this. The kingdom of God has an oxymoronish nature to it. Do you know that word? Oxymoron. Things that the blind will see and those with sight won't see. God often does things that seem atypical and unusual from a certain way of thinking. So let me just say it this way. Some of you have been feeling like tugged by the Lord to do something, but it just seems stupid. If it seems stupid, it's probably of the Lord. I said probably. You might want to check with some godly friends just to make sure, right? But God often does things in a way that, turn to your neighbor and pinch him. Pinch Bubba for me, because I went to give him a high five and he ignored me. Pinch him twice. What's this U of M stuff? No green. St. Patrick, the reason we pinch people who don't wear green. He'd been rescued. He escaped them people who'd abused him, enslaved him, tortured him. He was free. They were nothing but a bad memory and a cause for therapy. And yet God said, go back. I'm telling you, God works in crazy ways. If it seems stupid, it just might be from the Lord. So some of you have been feeling led to do something. Some of you have been feeling led to maybe make this type of decision, but in your head, like, well, that don't make sense. If it don't make sense, praise the Lord, that might be the thing you need to do. So Jesus says, the blind will see, and those with sight won't see. Speaking of judgment, there's that word again, judgment. Say, yuck. Yeah, this isn't mine, but it's fun to say, right? He spoke words of comfort to the afflicted and words of affliction to the comforted. To those who had it all together, who weren't like loving others, who were using their position for their own power and their own gain, Jesus brought a heavy word. So here's the deal. The purpose is the same. Jesus desires all to be saved, right? Somebody say all. Jesus wants all people to walk into their becoming, to the fulfillment of who they are in him. Jesus loves them all. Somebody say, all. But sometimes we need a gentle, tender word like the blind guy. And sometimes we need a harsh kick in the tuchus. Right? How many of you know somebody who needs a harsh kick in the tuchus? Go ahead and point at them. Ooh. I just started 3 marital fights in this room. Sometimes we need the tender word, the gentle word, the touch, the talk, like the blind guy. But sometimes we're like these, we're just hard-headed. And Jesus brings hard words of judgment because he loves us too much to leave us stuck in our stupid thinking. And he wants us to get it right. He doesn't want us to be about our own power and ourselves. He wants us to be about others. And he might just kick us in the butt. We've been using imagery with judgment. Jesus is speaking of future judgment. Right here in these days, Jesus is about grace, and anyone can come to Jesus and get the grace of Jesus. Someday when it's all said and done, judgment's going to be real, and we've been using imagery of shirts, haven't we? It's like sin is often, it's like a shirt. And have you ever seen somebody with an ugly shirt? I mean, come on. Don't point out who, but does anybody see anybody in the room today with an ugly shirt? If you see somebody in the room with, don't point them out. Just, do you see an ugly shirt today? Yeah. See, sin is like an ugly shirt. And what our world, our fashion-conscious world does is we want to judge the person wearing the ugly shirt. When in reality, the judgment should just stop at the shirt. The person isn't defined by the shirt, right? And what Jesus does is he comes down and he removes the ugly shirt because Jesus is the best fashion designer in the world. Amen. And he knows that some shirts deserve judgment, but the person wearing the shirt doesn't. And we're living in an area where we can have Jesus remove the shirt. So the shirt, the sin, gets the judgment, and the person doesn't. Now, there will be a day when it's all said and done. If we don't let him remove our shirts, the shirt that gets judged, and it's honest, well, we're going to get the judgment that the shirt gets if we don't let him remove it. So sometimes we need a gentle Savior to remove the shirt. And sometimes we need a Savior to rip it off and throw it down and say, you're stuck in your shirt. Why are they laughing? You know, Jesus doesn't want the judgment on the sin on the shirt to hit the person. He wants to take it off. And so sometimes he brings a gentle word, but sometimes, like with these knuckleheaded religious people, boom, he goes after them. Now, I'm going to make this a little more uncomfortable for you, so feel free to ignore this if you don't want to be uncomfortable. Or if you have to, like, pretend like you have to go pee, now's your time. Right, when I started a campus ministry back in 1998, long time ago, you know, we started over on campus, and we went from 16 to about 400 or 500 in a few years, and we were seeing all kinds of fruitfulness, but there was one major roadblock to expansion and growth in the campus ministry. Uh-oh, here it comes. Are you ready? You ready for this? I don't know if you are. Everybody take a deep breath. The biggest hurdle to movement of the kingdom on campus were students who had gone to Christian high schools. Oh, goodness. Did he just say that? If you're mad, you can subtly give me the finger, the driving one, and I'm okay with it. Here's why. Because like these Pharisees who knew everything, they really knew nothing. There were so many Christian highs from all over the place, not just a particular one, but these kids came in knowing everything about God, but in the knowing about, they knew him very little. Now that's a sobering thought. Here's what I came to realize. Jesus loves those kids as much as he loved the kids who were far from Christ when they came to college. And he wanted them to get free as well. And so sometimes he rips the shirt off and throws it down, and he's less than gentle. Here's the danger zone. Those of us who go to church on a regular basis, anybody in the room? Anybody? Oh, man, we're in a dangerous place. So it's better if you only come like once every other month. Some of you do that anyway, don't you? Right, you've heard me say, according to Barna, the statistics, people who check the box, regular committed churchgoer, 17 times a year, 1.4 times a month. It's one thing to know about God, but you can know all about him like St. Patrick did and not be transformed by him. It's not enough to know about him. He wants you to know him. And in the knowing comes the transformation. So Jesus says some strong words. And they heard him and they asked him, are we blind too, Jesus? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty. But now that you claim to see, your guilt remains. They should have known. And yet they didn't. And it's easy for us to say they should have known. The reality is sometimes we see them in the mirror when we get up and we look in that their mirror. That's why you shouldn't look in the mirror. Our tendency is to be like them, to have it all up in the head and have very little in the heart, to know about but do little. So really the litmus test is, does your faith in Jesus, here we go, let me get the handy dandy thing. It's belonging so that you believe, so that you become all he intends you to be. He intends you to become someone who loves people well and is making a difference on planet Earth. But so many of us get stuck here and believe, I know all about Jesus, I believe him. But he wants us to become a people who live lives of mercy for others. And that's why we have signs around. That's why our imagery, our language is, we are about the lost, the least, and the lonely. So do you need the gentle touch like the blind guy today? If you do, celebrate that you get it, because Jesus knows. He sees and he touches gently and he talks tenderly.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.